If you're turning your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 14, Hebrews 14. When you're there, smile. Hebrews chapter 14. If you're in Hebrews 14, raise your hand. You found it? I'm sorry? There is no Hebrews 14, by the way. You heard about the minister that told his congregation, next week we're going to preach about the sin of lying out of Mark chapter 17. And the following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, he got up and he said, he wanted to know how many read Mark 17. Every hand went up. So he said, there is no Mark 17 or only 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying. Next week, be here at 9:30 for a special prayer time. We will have church next week, so make sure and be here next Sunday at 9:30. Here we are at the end of 2017. Can you believe it? The last day of 2017. My goodness. Tomorrow's it. Tomorrow's a new day, new calendar. And there's a lot of new things that are happening. This year is 5778, and on the Hebrew calendar, it's a year of the door. So it's an opening. It's a new thing that's happening. And I had just somebody share with me this morning that they felt a change happening already. And there is something up in heaven. God is about to do some tremendous things in 2018. Now, I want to talk this morning. Of course, we talk about Hebrews chapter 11 being the faith chapter because it is. It's about faith, and without faith, we can't please God, and without faith, we can't accomplish what God has called us to do. I would like faith to have different properties. If it were up to me, something of faith would be when I see the whole thing laid out in front of me, I can exercise faith. How many know what I mean? You know, you get a job. You know that at the end of the week you're going to get paid, or you know your job. Every day you go in, you know what you're going to do. It doesn't take faith to do that. But God asks us to move in faith, and He's not going to change the properties of faith. Faith means that we've got to exercise that God is going to be blessing, that God is going to make a way, and He's going to accomplish all that He has in store for us. A lot of times we get words from God. God speaks to our heart, and it seems like it's impossible what He's speaking. Well, get used to it. God will never speak the possible to us. Why would He need to? Come on, somebody. All things are possible with God. God lives in the realm of impossibilities. So we're entering a part of Hebrews chapter 11 that's quite interesting. We have a chance to turn things around in the following year, in 2018. And we've spent some time this last year. I looked back over my sermons, and I started in the book of Acts before 2017. And the whole up until May of 2017, we were in the book of Acts. How many know the book of Acts is based on faith? A lot of things we saw the brethren do there took a lot of faith, and we've studied that. Until May, and then after a little hiatus, in August, we moved into the book of Hebrews, where we are now. The Lord has trained us for this next threshold of faith. If you have been all following, and I hope and I trust that you have, you've been studying those two books, God is training us and readying us for the road ahead. But He's not going to lay it all out for us. He's not going to make sure that every T is crossed and because God's ways are not our ways. He's going to accomplish what He set forth to do, both individually, whatever He's spoken to you, and definitely what He's spoken to New Life Church. This is a time for action and change. We do not learn the word so that we can put it in the history books. We are commanded to do it. Amen? Everybody's quiet this morning. You all right? Is your blood cold or what? God has told us to act on what we hear. We walk in faith. We move forward. Our behavior as Christians is in the Lord. We're moving forward. And so let's look at Hebrews. We're in chapter 11 and verse 20. Two words I want to share with you that is emphasized in this passage that I want to pray for you is by faith. It's mentioned 10 times in the following scriptures from verse 20 to verse 31. Or verse 26. It's mentioned by faith. And so let's look. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And if you remember the story about Jacob and Esau, Jacob stole Esau's birthright, and then his mother dressed him up in animal skin to make him hairy like Esau, and his father blessed him, gave him the firstborn blessing, but God had it in control the whole time. His name, Isaac, blessed Jacob. His name meant usurper, and indeed he did usurp. But God's intent was to bless Jacob and make him the father of Israel. Man's choice was Esau was born, he was the eldest, and he was expected to receive the blessing. God knew all the while that he would not be blessed. Let me tell you something. God's intent for your life cannot be shipwrecked by any person, place, or thing, no matter what the circumstance. Amen. Jacob thought he was going to get the birthright by hook or crook, and he had to pay for it. He went to get a wife, and he had 21 years where he had to serve Laban. And the whole thing. But God had it under control. God knew exactly what was going to happen with Jacob. If we look at it on his side, he said, I'm the firstborn. I got the blessing. Now all I've got is cursed. 21 years he had to serve someone else. But he ended up being the father of a nation. Let me encourage you this morning. By faith is the way that we're asked to walk. God's intent for your life cannot be changed. You're blessed. If you're a child of God, you're blessed. Hey, look, the end product is going to be heaven. No matter what happens here, we're going to heaven. We're going to be with the saints. We're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever to dwell in His light and His existence. Come on, somebody. I was contemplating that yesterday. I was looking out my back window. On the porch, and the wind was blowing across the roof and blowing crystals all over the place. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you see one of those little crystals? And I eyed it and it was gone. He said, that's your life. But I'm going to use it. Our life is but a vapor. Our life is but a quick boom. It's gone. But God's intent is to use, and God cannot be fooled. Even though Jacob had some lessons to learn, he became Israel and birthed a nation. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Esau was a hunter. Esau was a hard worker. The only mistake he made is he got too hungry and sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. But he was a better candidate in the eyes of man. See, in the eyes of man, man has been looking to politics and all kinds of things to make this world make sense. It's a world of chaos that we live in. But those that are being passed over right now are soon to be looked at, and that's you. And you must have answers for people that are going to come and ask you. And I think it's going to happen very quickly. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. Again, Jacob was asked to bless. Ephraim received the blessing. He was on his right side, but Manasseh was on his right side. He blessed Ephraim, the secondborn. It was the second time his grandchildren were in or out of order. But God, again, when He chooses to bless, He will bless. When He chooses to bless, He will bless. I love the way time is set up. I don't know about you, but I've thought about this a lot. We don't have to repeat yesterday. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm glad 2017's in the history books. I'm glad we don't have to go back and do it again. Could you imagine if heaven announced, we didn't get it right, we're going to live 2017 all over again. Come on, somebody. We don't have to do that. The way history, the way time is designed is the back is history, the front, we've got a whole new chance. This is a new day. No matter what's happened yesterday. Don't be a prisoner of the past. Don't be a prisoner of the facts. Overcome the facts by faith. He is able to change. Come on, somebody. He's able to change our circumstances. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Even though Joseph did not see the promise, he spoke by faith. It would be years until Joseph's bones was taken into the promised land, but that's what he said. When you get to the promised land, he knew that God was going to bless the nation of Israel. Come on, somebody. And he spoke by faith. Say, what if nothing happens like we think it's going to? Hindsight is 20/20 vision. I thought we'd already be there. How many you old Christians thought we'd already be in glory? Jesus had fantastic times he could have come. Come on, somebody. It would have been really neat if he'd have came around the year 2000. I mean, there was a lot of people that said he was coming in the year 2000. They disappointed a bunch of people. It would have been really great if he came in 2000. And then 2001, when we were attacked in New York, it would have been a great time for Jesus to come back, establish his kingdom. Come on, somebody. What if anything that we believe about the end is not going to happen? What if we all die natural deaths? We have to think of that because we've got something of substance that we have to pass to this next generation, no matter how screwed up they are. This next generation is messed up. But how many remember how messed up we were? How many remember Nehru jackets and, come on somebody, black lights and bongs and elephant bells and hip huggers and, come on somebody, Lover's Lane? Well, we were whacked, but God took care of us. What happens if all we're going to do is die a natural death? We've got to have something of substance because God is building his church. By faith, Joseph spoke. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Moses had a life marked by the miraculous. He had a life marked from the beginning of his birth until the end. He experienced some miraculous things. We live in a miraculous time. Come on, somebody. Live in the miraculous because the miraculous lives in you. Think about the holy God of the universe took up his abode in you. You're a miracle. Come on, someone. Your being is occupied by the creator of the universe. Could somebody get me some water, please? Moses lived in the miraculous. Live in the miraculous today, my friends, because the miraculous lives in you. Verse 24. Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. There's an old saying says, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know, Moses could have chose to use the riches of Egypt to fulfill the purposes of God. But that wasn't God's plan. Come on, somebody. God said, you know what I'll do with Moses? Thanks so much. You know what I'll do with Moses? I'm going to send him into the desert for 40 years. He's going to forget much of what he learned in Egypt. He's going to have a speech problem. And then I'm going to send him back to set my people free in Egypt. How many, if you would have been there during the counsel of God's plans, you'd have said, God, can we talk a little bit? I mean, here's Moses, raised in Pharaoh's court, knows everything he needs to know, the richest family, arguably, in all of Egypt. Come on, somebody. During the 80s, during the 70s and 80s and 90s of the last century, the church rode a wave. We were popular. People came and asked us advice. We sat with presidents and all kinds of things. That would have been an excellent time to have the revival come, wouldn't it? There was no money problem. Churches were packed. Remember in the 80s? The White House was open during the 80s. Reagan declared 1983 the year of the Bible. How many remember that? 1983, the year of the Bible. Took some flack, but he declared. He was a Christian man that declared Christ. Pastors and ministers and evangelists in and out of the White House at will. Been an excellent time for revival. God, would you bring revival now? Now this is an excellent time. No, God sent us into the wilderness for 40 years. We've been in the wilderness for 40 years. The church has been mocked, ridiculed, made fun of. We've forgotten some of those heydays of... And it was said, one of the evangelists said, you could go to college campus, say boo, and 20 people would be saved. Spirit of God was moved. That would have been an excellent time for revival to come. That would have been an excellent time to reap the harvest. God said, no, I'm going to send the church into the wilderness. We've had to hang on to our relationship with God. Turn away from the world if you've not already. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me. Say lawful. But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. It's not what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. When Christ made you free, you're free. How many can say, I'm free? I'm free to make my choices. But my choices have consequences. You have freedom of choice, but you do not have freedom of consequence. Every choice that we make has a consequence. Come on, somebody. Moses refused the riches of Egypt because he knew it would defile him. He was already defiled. God knew he was defiled. Sent him into the wilderness for 40 years. He would have been accepted had Moses made declarations from Pharaoh's court. Who knows what could have happened? But it wasn't in God's plan. We're in a tempting time. We're in a tempting time to give in. A lot of the church has already done it, slid into compromise. The church has agreed with the world, so there's hardly any difference between the two. And look what it's got us. And I believe 2018 is going to be a year of the burning bush experience. We're going to hear the voice of God maybe more plainly than we have in years. And the same word that he spoke to Moses, he's going to speak to this generation. I believe he is speaking to this generation. Go down into Egypt and let my people go. Lead my people out of bondage. Come on, someone. Moses had over 240,000 people. This harvest that's waiting for us, that's a small number. All things are lawful. All things are okay, but we say no to things that we might grasp the power and the purpose of God. As a Christian, we have choices to make every day. Any compromise that we make makes us look more like the world and less like God. We do without things. We do not necessarily sinful things, but we don't do them because it would bring reproach upon God's name and it would bring question marks on those that are needing solid answers. So we don't go to particular movies. So we don't drink what everybody drinks. So we don't talk like everybody talks. So that we say no to things that others say yes to. But it's very important. We glibly think about the life of Moses as if he was magically transported to the desert and lived 40 years. Listen, he left Pharaoh's court, the richest family in Egypt, and became a shepherd. Can you imagine what must have went through his mind during those 40 years? God, what's happened to my people? What am I doing here? What is your plan and your purpose? I believe God had plans for Moses and talked to Moses. We see him with the burning bush, but I don't think that was his first encounter. I think he heard God all the time, all the while during that 40 years. But you know what? It's none of our business what God said during that 40 years. We heard the culmination of that 40-year relationship. Now I'll show you my glory. Now this burning bush will speak to you. Go and set my people free. We have been quietly in our prayer closets. God has spoke to us. Some of us, if we look through our prayer journals, if we thought back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, God spoke some powerful things to us individually and as a church. Come on, somebody. It's time to revisit those. It's time to believe in those things again. By faith, we eschew the things of the world. We push back the things of the world. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So anything that we've endeared ourselves to that we know God doesn't want us involved with, we need to eschew. We need to push back. We need to turn away from. Verse 27, Hebrews 11. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Forsake it. It is nothing compared to eternity. Push it back. Go away from it. The things of the world are passing away. Peter says, don't you know that everything we see will be burned up with fire? The only thing that makes any sense to us now that we're Christians, now that we're set aside, is the invisible. Look what it says again. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It's the invisible things of the kingdom that we embrace, that we walk in. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Luke 14, chapter 14, verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Think about that for a second. You say, well, he was talking to the disciples. He's not talking to me. He's talking to you. Come on, somebody. God, can I come and serve you and have all this stuff too? No, forsake it. Let's stop and think about that just for a minute. What does it mean to forsake? In the original language, forsake literally means to say adieu to, by departing or dismissing, to renounce, bid farewell, forsake, take leave, send away. Jesus said, if you don't send away, if you don't renounce, if you don't say farewell to, you cannot be my disciple. And you say, well, God, I'll be your child, but I don't want to be your disciple. You can't have your cake and eat it too. God's called us to be disciples of His. That means a follower of Christ. The root word of disciple means disciplined one. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined mind. Come on, someone. You want all the fruit of what heaven has to give, you're a disciple. If you want to just be a child, I'm not saying you could roll the dice, take your chances. Take your chances, do it. You say, well, I'm not volunteering for all of that. I don't want to forsake everything. I want my cake and I'm going to eat it too. God says that He'll forgive me just before I die. Whatever you've figured out, roll, take your chances with it. But here's what God says. Forsake all. The spiritual adultery cannot stand with you if you're to go on with God. It's a radical thing. It's too much. God, you're asking too much from me. Verse 28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses kept the Passover before there was a Passover. Before the law, Moses kept the Passover, the blood on the doorpost during the 10th plague. Know the things that are commanded of you by God and do them. Moses obeyed the commandments even before there were commandments. You say, well, I don't know what God is requiring of me. Just be ready to say yes, whatever God says. It's just pretty simple. I don't know. God, if I make this step, some one of the excuses we laughed about, I'll do it as long as it doesn't change anything in my life. How many have lived with God long enough to when you say yes to God, things change? Come on, somebody. By faith. It's not going to be set out for us. We look back at Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's by faith we're not going to see it. We say we live in the New Testament. We live in the New Covenant times. There's not a whole lot of commands. Did you know there are 1,050 commands in the New Testament? It's quiet in here. There's 1,050 commands. Because when God made statements, Jesus made statements, they weren't suggestions, they were commands. When you pray, when you fast, if you want to be my disciple. Come on, somebody. They're under 800 categories. To obey, the Word of God says, is better than the sacrifice. By faith, Moses kept the Passover even before there was anything such as that. You say, well, I don't know what God has in store for me. Just be ready to say yes to God. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. The nation of Israel stepped onto dry land without fear of drowning. We think of it Cecil B. DeMille way. But listen, how many of you would step into a place where you knew the water might come over you? Water was piled up, but you were asked to go across on dry land. Most scholars say it took all night and half the next day to get 250,000 people across the creek. It was a river. By faith, a whole nation was asked to trust in God, to walk across something that had never been done before. Never been. The Red Sea was a barrier between one and another. And they walked across it on dry land because God provided a way. You say, I know what God has done for me up to this point, and I know He's asking me to do these things. Can I accomplish them? And God says, of course you can't without me, but I'll make a way where there is no way. You say, God, if I give all these things up and if I stand by faith and I serve you, am I going to be able to do it? He says, of course you're not going to be able to do it. But with me, all things are possible. This generation is craving for a group of people that know their God and do exploits. craving for a group of people that know what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're doing anymore. We're just kind of making it up as we go. Come on, somebody. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. They walked by faith, not seeing the outcome until their obedience was complete. Think about that. It really doesn't say there was much of anything told them except to walk around and shut your mouth. Walk around the city each day for 7 days, and then the seventh day they walked 7 times. Isn't that the way it went? What are we doing? We're taking another walk. This is like Wednesday. What are we doing? Shut your mouth. Walk. Many of us are saying, God, what are you up to? Shut your mouth. Do what I told you to do. Pray. Listen. Keep your mouth shut. I've got a plan. Meanwhile, the barrier between Christianity and the secular is wider and wider and wider. The walls are impenetrable. We talk to somebody about God, they don't want to hear it. There's coming a time when the walls are coming down. All we're asked to do, can you imagine a nation walking around the walls? Day after day, 7 days, and then the seventh day, oh, here we go again. Well, we're not walking once, we're walking 7 times. That was quite a walk going around Jericho, by the way. It took some time. They had to start pretty early. And then God said, shout. And that's what he's getting ready to tell the church. Shout. Shout the name of Jesus. Shout it from the housetops. What you've heard in your prayer closets, what you've written in your prayer journals, all these years, it's time to shout. Come on, somebody. And the Rahabs and the prisoners and those that are in under those walls, the prisoners of wars and the missing in action, have heard about the glory of the church. And we're about to show them. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What did God say for you to do? Complete it and watch what He does. Finish the task that's set before you. If it's to make sure your marriage is solid, do it. If it's that you need to be better financially, do it. If it's that you're supposed to stop certain language or stop watching this or doing that, do it. Complete what God has told you to do. The blessing comes when the obedience is complete. Not during the obedience. Come on, somebody. How many grounded your children for 30 days and couldn't stand it more than a week? Let's be honest. Raise your hand. You're grounded for 30 days. 1 week later, you couldn't stand the whining. All right. Go do what you're going to do. We've got to be disciplined, my friends. We've got to be complete and wait on God. When the obedience is complete, then the blessing comes. When the chastisement, when God chastens us, we wait. Waiting is never fun. Chastening is never fun. But God's got a plan. By faith. By faith, verse 31. The harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab heard stories but never met an Israelite. We have heard the stories and have been rocked to sleep. We've heard the stories of past revivals, but we've been rocked to sleep. We need to encourage ourselves. It's time to wake up. It's time to take the land, restore righteousness, lead the people out of darkness. Wow. By faith. All of these people, by faith. Some, the scripture is about ready to tell us, some never seen the promises. But they lived obedient lives of faith because they knew they were starting what we would complete as a generation. Verse 32, and what more shall I say, the writer says, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quench, verse 34, the violence of fire. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. Woo! Boy, his faith life is fun. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. And God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We are adding to the blessings of that generation by our obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Nobody says it's going to be I'm not saying it's going to be a good time, this revival that's coming. Oh, we're going to have a... It's going to be met with more resistance than we ever thought possible. But God will be victorious. Come on, someone. God will be victorious, and it's going to cost some things. It's going to cost us standing. It's going to cost us relationships, if it hasn't already. We don't want that. See, that's uncomfortable. We want to compromise. We want to say, well, that's okay. You could be a Christian and live that kind of life, and you could do that. And that's what's got us into the place we're at. Come on, somebody. Sawn asunder. Stoned. Yet they lived lives of obedience. Say, God, I'm glad they did and I don't have to. See, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's about to happen. I've tried to get the blueprint from God and He ain't giving it up. I've tried to say, Father, can you just show me the next 10 years? Just lay it out for me so I know where I'm going. Come on, has anybody ever said that? Especially every new year I say, God, not only show me this year, but if you could show me the next 4 or 5 years, because I get fooled every time. I thought we'd be at a place as a church 3 years ago to where we're going this year. I'm always running out ahead. I'm like the little kid that goes running down through the woods. Mommy, mommy, bye. And God says, I haven't went there yet, so come back here and I'll show you the right path to go. Come on, somebody. I'm always running out ahead. Oh, I know what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen. Some of us gray heads can look back and say, man, we got fooled many times over the last 30, 40 years. How many could say amen? Man, I thought I knew what was going to happen. Me, I got fooled in Y2K. Man, I thought that was going to be it. The computer at that time was just, it was the enemy. It was the mark of Christ. It was the mark of Satan, 666, the computers. So they were all going down in the year 2000. Come on, somebody. I said, man, we deserve it. Let's go. Wake up 2000, January 1st, 2000. Everything's going to be dark. All the stores are going to be closed. We're going to have to cry out to God. Had my bathtub full of water. Come on. And God spoiled it for me. Because on December 31st, 1999, God said, what are you doing? Drain the bathtub. It's going to be okay. It's not, they missed it big time. Come on, somebody. About 9:30 on December 31st. I already had my suspicions, but I had already ran down the woods where I thought God was going. God says, no, come back here. That ain't the plan. So I went to bed, slept like a baby. Woke up January 1st. Come on, somebody. Almost bought a generator. Everybody I knew bought generators. Come on. Just about everybody in the church I was attending at the time, I was living in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, everybody bought a generator because they thought they knew what God was going to do. spend $400, $500, $600 for generators and run your house. Come on, somebody. The funniest thing in the world, in April, there were generators for sale at every yard sale. $100 by generator. We don't know what's going to happen by faith. It's by faith. But when we stand before a holy God on that day, when you and I will individually, one at a time, stand before God, and God said, what did you do with your life? We want to be able to say, I lived it by faith. I obeyed you. I didn't see what the promises were, but I know they're going to come. If the promises have come, we'll know it. We'll embrace it. We can't wait for it. In closing, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What are the witnesses? Everything we just read. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who is the author of our faith? By faith, it's Jesus. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author of this faith that we're asked to live in is Jesus. He, of all people, his example almost pales in significance to all the scourgings and the things and the deals. But Jesus came and died on the cross, died for our sins, never knowing. He was 100% man. He obeyed his Father. He hung on the cross, never knowing if it was going to take place the way. He had to release his faith to raise again on the third day. Come on, somebody. God raised him on the third day because God said he was going to do it. Jesus had to exercise faith. He was fully man. He didn't have a coin in the pocket. He didn't have an ace up his sleeve. He had to take by faith what God said. And he's the author of the faith that's in you and I. So what's it say? It says, lay aside every weight. Distractions and worldly pursuits are done. You have a chance in 2018 to say, I'm not going to go by the ways of the world. It's not affected me now, and it's before. It's not done anything good for me before, and it's not going to do anything. Don't be fooled by the things of the world. It didn't help you then, it's not going to help you in 2018. Back away, distractions and worldly pursuits, we're done with them. If it is sin, call it sin. Repent, move on. Run the race. Watch what it says. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There is a race. You say, well, I don't want to be part of the race. Can I be a spectator? Too late. If you're a Christian, there's a race. And we're running a race. Come on, somebody. Set your pace as if you're running a race. Before us. It's set before us. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Him. Not on a man or a woman. Not on an evangelist or some great ministry team. Set your sight on Jesus. And there it is, see, in Hebrews 12:1, there it is. After all the things we talked about in the last month that we've been in Hebrews chapter 11. Therefore, we also, say we also. And then put your name right there. Put your name right there. Write it right across there. Rick, write your name right there. I also. You're part of this thing, man. This whole examples that we just read, you're part of it. God wants to show you great and miraculous things in the impossible, in the realm of the impossible. You've had a relationship on the backside of the desert the last 30 or 40 years. That's okay. God's getting ready to speak from a burning bush. We're going to go see some things happen. How many would have liked to have been alive during the time of the 10 plagues? Me either. Can you imagine? Darkness and blood and cattle dying and lice and Frogs, nothing ever came close to the Israelites. The Egyptians were visited with all the plagues, and the Israelites were walking around like they were special. Turn to somebody and say, "You're special. God's going to take care of us." In this coming year in 2018, don't let the circumstances that will happen physically shake you spiritually. There are going to be some things that happen that will be terrible. But God is going to have His way with this church. We are the ones that are asked to bring the captives out of captivity. We also. By faith, change your situation. If it's growing up, grow up. Quit being a baby. Quit being a whiner. "Oh God, I've been crying." Stop it. God loves you. God has a plan for you. If you're going through a trial or a tribulation, we must, through tribulation, inherit the kingdom of God. Join the human race. If you're going through tribulation, join the Christian race. Part of this whole thing is tribulation, persecution. Change your situation. If it's growing up, grow up. Wipe your eyes, change your diaper, and move on. If it's repenting, repent. If you're in a sin, you know you're sinning, repent. God's made provision for the sin. Don't keep hanging on to it. Don't say that I'm ashamed of it, but I'll keep doing it in the dark somewhere. Repent, get rid of it, and watch what God will do. God will flood you with His blessing. Why? Because what's the Scripture say? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. That cleansing power of God is like nothing else. Because it's all right, that's in history books. In matter of fact, it's gone. I've separated you as far as the east is from the west from your sin. If it's losing weight, lose weight. If it's getting in shape, get in shape. If it's getting your marriage together, get your marriage together. Whatever God is telling you to do for 2018, just be obedient. You're not going to see the walls crash down until you complete the obedience. Don't look for the whole enchilada. The blueprints are none of your business. Come on, somebody. The carpenter that's pounding the 2x4 in the thing, it's none of his business what the completed work is. I've got to put this wall up. So I'm going to put the wall up. I'm going to use the nail gun or use the hammer or do whatever. God's got a whole pit. Whatever He's got your part to do, He's going to complete the whole thing. It's already settled in heaven. Get with the program God has established for you. He's not making it up. It was set before time that the worship team could come. It was set before time, this thing. Now, I believe God had it planned all along. How many could say amen? God had it planned all along. This isn't something He just came up with last year. See if it's going to work. From the beginning of time, God had planned what was about to happen. I believe 2018, we're stepping into God's purposes. I'm claiming it for my life. I'm claiming it for my wife, our household. I'm claiming it for our children. I'm praying for my son, Jason, my daughter, Sarah, that they would come back. Both are very well off in the world, but they need Christ. Amen. This is a time to believe for our children, our grandchildren, our families to come back, the captives to come back out of Egypt. This is our burning bush year. God is commanding us to go. I want to pray for you. If you'll come up, I just want to agree with you in prayer. If you're standing in belief for somebody in your family, I want to believe with you. And I want to lay hands on you. And there may be some prophetic words. We're going to take our time. We're going to listen for God. This is a time, a chance. Look, this is the New Year's Eve service. We're not going to have a chance January 2nd or January 3rd. We're making a statement today, God. We're looking forward. This year, 2018, is going to be the best we ever lived. Come, please.